We would like to extend a very warm welcome to the listeners of our second podcast episode, or rather, our very first real podcast episode, where we will probably be diving into some more content-focused topics. The official title of this episode is indeed called Understanding E-Invoicing and Invoice Origin. Let's see what we can make of that. And I thought, since in our last episode we already talked a bit about prejudices and digitalization and e-invoicing and what formats even exist, we could perhaps maybe start things off with a typical statement that you so very often hear being said regarding invoices and these various different formats. Does anything immediately jump to mind?
We are already completely and totally digital. By the way, that has really been a favorite phrase of ours over the course of the last 10 years. We are already totally digital with our incoming and outgoing invoices and so on. And then we used to always be really impressed and say, great. And then you suddenly realize, just like maybe religious or digital, there are terms where different people have different. Fill them with different meanings. And digital, very often when it comes to accounts receivable, accounts payable, invoices, meant digital as opposed to paper. That meant we're already getting emails or we're already sending emails to our customers. And of course, now that has many people know this by now, but still not everyone, we still sometimes have this huge misunderstanding when you get a structured e-invoice like that, which is also a clunky, difficult word. But there are differences between documents that are handed out physically on paper, then there are those like a PDF, for example, or an image, or sent as an image file, and there are differences there too. Some were scanned into a PDF, and others were already printed digitally, basically. And then there's an e-rule, which is something else entirely. A fully digital invoice is basically usually a PDF with a data set. And then there is actually something even crazier. Those are invoices with no image and no PDF. Just truly structured data sets without any visual. That's what they call it. For example, there are many, many, many formats, but EDI, Electronic Data Interchange, is one of them. So the word digital actually has a whole lot of different meanings, and then it is always going to be pretty important to understand what exactly they really mean when they talk about digital or when they say, I'm religious.
How would you assess that? Has that developed and changed so much over the course of the last, I don't really know, 5 to 10 years? So what kind of formats do you actually receive at Billbox these days? What did that look like 10 years ago? What does it look like today?
Well, I do believe that the very first thing we had such a very long time ago was this international format, EDI, Electronic Data Interchange. If I remember correctly, that actually came from those very industrial sectors. There were the international power utility companies, and apparently the brewers were also in on it quite early. So there were indeed certain industries that had this international exchange of orders, invoices, delivery notes, and things of that nature. Of these business documents, and they had always wanted to have them without any emails or paper trails, so they basically created these networks where you could actually very easily do this kind of data exchange. So EDI was indeed the very first one. Then I do actually remember back in the days of my youth, one of my last classes at the University of St. Gallen was, believe it or not, the CEO of Microsoft at the time, who was indeed the famous Steve Ballmer. So, although Bill Gates was still a shareholder back then, Steve Ballmer was the CEO, and he was in St. Gallen, and he stood on stage with a bright red face and says, screamed, he sometimes screamed on stage like that, the future will be XML. HTML is dead, XML is the future. I remembered that back then and thought, well, we're talking about things that happened in the late 90s. So that is just crazy. And that is also a very common format, namely extensible markup language for the nerds. They actually know what these abbreviations really mean. And from that, formats have emerged that are now much more widely used, so more people who aren't experts can understand them. For example, X Rechnung Faktor X Zugpferd. We could also talk about why it has such a strange name, for instance. Billbox has its own standard, BBXML. So there are all these different standards, but they've all somehow evolved from this extensible markup language logic. So very, very common, widely used. In different forms and in different countries, it might have a different name, but many, many of those that are not EDI are then simply just some other variations of XML.
Okay. and maybe we can take a look at this once again. As a customer or prospective customer of Billbox, how should I picture this if I usually get my invoices sent directly to my office or wherever in the company? How does that change? And what kind of price differences are there in the end? What's the effort per format, and why is it important to look into these formats in the first place?
So, when it comes to the quality and perception, it makes absolutely no difference whatsoever to Billbox's users and customers, because we have practically ever since we first started out. Since at least 2008, and basically even prior to that around the turn of the millennium, what actually reaches the customer has basically always been a structured e-invoice, no matter what kind of format they happen to arrive in. So for all the users of Billbox, it makes absolutely no difference whatsoever whether it is a paper document or paperless data, record or anything in between, because it always arrives in the form of granular data with thematic and usually also tax-related correctness. So that is indeed the independent part of the anchoring. You can easily imagine, of course, back in the analog world, people always used to talk like that, but when you say costs and everything now, that is, of course, a massive difference. What the customers basically need, or rather what they really want, is to have structured data in a variety of different systems. So especially when we are talking about accounts receivable and accounts payable, customers need this data in CRM systems, in ERP systems, in accounting systems, in banking systems. So they actually need data in various systems in a structured format. And that's pretty logical, you can easily picture it. In the end, the final result is always structured data. Back when it was still a letter, it was a lot of effort just to transport and create the letter in the first place. To transport it, to open it up, to place it on top of the scanner, and then to read it out. Back in those days, things like optical character recognition, which is yet another technical term, OCR, would actually read a physical letter like that and transform those toner marks printed on the paper into letters and numerical digits. What that means is that you then took this data and brought it together in terms of its meaning, context, and structure, and then you structured all of it accordingly so you could actually work with it. Now you can imagine when PDFs started being sent by email for like 20 years, at least the sender didn't have to print them anymore. Shipping with UPS or the regular mail and opening letters and scanning them, all of that was simply gone. And by then, you already had a processing speed of just 1 single second to query this particular document and send it back and forth. But you still had to, especially if it had been scanned beforehand, you had to scan it again. But if it was printed, you had to scan it. Or if it was printed digitally, then it was already much easier to get data out of it. All of those documents still had to be structured back in those days. And now, with these modern e-invoicing formats, the senders themselves are actually already delivering completely structured data. So you can imagine many, many small steps of change are no longer needed. The structure that is within this document just needs to be put into the structure that will fit into the customer systems as best as possible. For example, I need a customer number in a specific place, or I need some additional information. But that is a whole lot less effort than it used to be in the past, back when you used to receive things in an unstructured format or even as actual physical documents.
And this flagship product, what kind of format is that, please?
Yeah. That originally, it's been around forever. So I really have to talk about things that have been going on for decades. Of course, lots of people in all kinds of countries, I would have said mostly men, but that's not true, so that nobody can improve these processes, technically and digitally. And among other things, there's this, I think it's called the Forum for Electronic Invoicing in Germany, or FERD, and then someone clever came up with the idea, like, hey, let's establish a standard like that. Let's try to establish it worldwide or Europe-wide or across Germany. And we call it, now let me think, it actually has nothing to do with the animal, with a draft horse, which is why there's no P in it, and the E is also lowercase and everything else is capitalized. It is, I think, the Central User Guide of the Forum for Electronic Invoicing in Germany. It's the abbreviation acronym ZUGFERD. And yeah, that's where it comes from. And that is one of many, many international standards that, you know, certain industries or certain find themselves using. companies agreed on, saying it's one of the supported standards. You can sort of picture it in your mind. For our really old listeners out there, way back in the day, somewhere between the Middle Ages and modern times, there used to be these things called VCRs. Back in those days, if you wanted to record television programs or something like that, you would slide these big cassettes into a VCR, and that is how you were able to record stuff. Video. And there were three major standards in the world. There were probably many others, but there was actually one by Sony. That was a patent by Sony called Betamax. Then there was another one that was called Video 2000. I really wanted that back then. It existed somewhere, but nobody had it. And then there was VHS. Those were three standards from lower competitors as well, in part. And of course, they all wanted to say there should only be one left. At some point, I'd say VHS won the race just shortly before video was dead. Once the VHS standard finally won, they were probably quite happy they'd made it, and then suddenly, video wasn't relevant anymore. I think something similar will happen with these e-invoicing standards, because I personally believe that at some point we won't even need invoices anymore.
Could we perhaps go over that once again? You just mentioned structured data and so on. What exactly is this structured data? So, does that actually mean that a specific piece of information can be found in a very specific place on the invoice document, or what? How does that relate to structure?
Structure. If you imagine a bill now, someone, company A, sends company B a bill, it really doesn't matter. It does not matter at all what is written on it. Then it has, there are, first of all, there is certain information. For example, most of the countries or tax authorities require that it has a proper number and that it contains certain so-called mandatory details, so that you can still figure out later on which specific company or person actually billed which company or person for what. This is often about tax compliance, especially VAT, which actually serves to fund pretty much a huge part of the public good. And that is precisely the reason why, of course, the tax authorities of the various different countries are extremely interested in ensuring that the exchange between companies is as transparent and also as properly recorded for tax purposes. And now you can imagine there is certain data that absolutely has to be on there. An invoice number in many countries, a delivery date, the relevant period, a billing date. These are data points that, if you think about it, when it's just in a PDF, somewhere it says Müller GmbH and somewhere else there is a multi-digit number. But a system does not necessarily know that this is an invoice number. It gets even more complicated when we start talking about line items, like what kind of detailed content is actually written on the invoice. And BillBox has always, ever since the very beginning, focused on granular data, meaning really all the individual details. And you really have to imagine, sometimes when an invoice does not just contain one single line item, like for example, I don't know, caretaking services, then there might also be on such an invoice 3 hours of caretaking, one travel charge, 5 kilometers, and one item is I also bought a cleaning agent, 1 liter of Bona wax, then that's 3 items. And the structuring would now be, for example, that a system is able to recognize where exactly does the new item actually start. Is there maybe a different tax on this item? Because maybe, who knows? Bona wax has a different tax than something like, say, fees that were advanced. And then, in order to figure out where exactly that has to go in my professional conduct, you do not just need the letters and the numbers, but you also absolutely need flags or indicators. Where exactly does it belong? Is it a page number or is it an item number? Is this an item number or is it a VAT rate? What's the VAT rate on this one? Is that supposed to be 21% Spanish VAT? Or is it actually going to be a 21% discount? So then these characters that are printed on these, which are their invoice data, also need to be interpreted. Not just what they mean, but where they belong. That's actually what's meant by structured.
So, are these structured data primarily important so that the BillBox system can capture them correctly, the invoice? Or is that also an advantage for the customer or the user?
That actually has absolutely nothing to do with BillBox, because, as I said earlier, I have the clients, the customers who need the services. Different data in different structures within different systems. Even when people have one huge system, you know, you often hear things like, We have Oracle, we have SAP, we have Navision, we have Dynamics, we've got some kind of wow system that does everything. Very often, different parts of this system actually require data in different structures or levels of granularity. And that means this has nothing to do with Billbox itself. Billbox is just, we believe, a very good way to bridge this connection between the sender's structure and the receiver's structure, or in the case of accounts receivable, the structure of the customer with their own customers. This translation work, these different ones, you can easily think of it just like a translation. I say a sentence in German and someone else wants to understand Spanish. Then sometimes you don't just have to translate the words individually, but also in Spanish the verb is in a different place than in German. So I also have to understand the structure and not just translate word for word.
Okay. And that means if I am thinking about what exactly the best format would be to kind of submit my invoice to Billbox, that is probably the most digital format there is. Which one would that actually be right now, so to speak?
Well, I'd probably say XML. Because when it comes to these other formats such as EDI or PEPPOL, you often still find yourself in a position where you have to license something, get accredited, set something up, or configure something. Which is indeed highly worth it if you are doing a whole lot of the very same thing, but if you do not have these kinds of high-volume industrial processes and do not want to start up a mini-project with every single customer and supplier, then XML formats are probably the right way to go.
Okay, thank you so very much. I think we have actually already reached the end of this episode. Thank you so very much indeed. And then we will be hearing from each other again in the third episode.
Awesome. Absolutely my pleasure. It would indeed be a great goal if we managed to bring these really nerdy topics in this podcast. Like, well, I think today we'll just leave that to the listeners to make it all a bit visual and tangible, and it might even be fun. Thanks so much for listening.